If you could join any band in history, who would it be? So you're their bass player.
I drink like Tetley's Bitter or John Smith's, like real like plastic Yorkshire ale, and I put a raw egg in it.
That's not on.
What do you... Welcome back to the Man Overboard podcast. Today we are joined by none other than Danny Sapko himself. Hello. Musical maestro, content creator, bassist of the year 2020.
Oh, you've done your research.
Oh yeah, definitely. How's it going, Danny?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I don't live too far away, so we had a nice drive over.
That's all right then, isn't it?
In God's own country.
Yeah.
The wrong side of it, but it's all right.
Still good. Yeah. So I want to start things off with getting into your journey with YouTube. So I know you've been making content for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And it's only in the recent times that you've actually started to pick up traction.
Yes, it's been a long struggle. So I had about 8 years of sort of trying to do it and kind of half-assing it a little bit. And it wasn't until literally like 9 months ago that it really started to pick up. I started doing a lot of shorts and stuff, and that's really what got me going with it. And it took me 8 years to actually speak on YouTube, which I think was the big thing. I needed to get over that. Mm-hmm. And the obvious reason, I don't know if you two find this, was like, oh, no one's going to understand my accent outside of the, you know, the local area. So it did take me a bit of a while to get that going. But luckily, it's just starting to take off. Starting to get there now.
Getting some traction. Yeah. Ball's rolling now, ain't it? Yeah, onwards and upwards. Like I say, you've kind of used your accent in your favour in a way, haven't you? Because it's kind of become your catchphrase of sorts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen the back of my jacket?
I was just about to say, would you be able to quickly... I've
repping just done the... this is my new logo. Let's see. Can you see that?
Yeah, that looks amazing. Quality.
That looks so good.
So... Yeah, that's painted on. So, it's a bit early to plug my merch, but I just designed a load of stickers and patches and all sorts that's with that design on. So that's going to be coming out soon. However, that's just painted on. I put a picture of that up and everyone thought I was selling leather jackets with my logo on, which I won't be.
I mean, maybe down the line.
Well, maybe
who's
I will.
Who's to say?
They're
not
coming out anytime soon.
Yeah, no time soon. Yeah.
Was
no
there any particular inspiration behind that design? Is there a deeper meaning towards it?
Well, there's a skull and the safety pins and then my catchphrase. I mean, I want that much of a thought process behind it. So the reason that slogan came around, well, can you guess? It's just the way I say the word bass. And then everyone started commenting with that spelling. And it just kind of stuck. And now people are asking for merch with it on. So, yeah, I'm going with it. I've got it registered. It's now a registered trademark. Yeah. And I've had a look and there's some high schools in the US. So it's like something like Beyond Earth High School are really upset about this. They can't sell their hoodies anymore. Ah. So I've got international trademark on it.
That's great. There you go. Yeah.
And on your YouTube journey, obviously you said that it started to really pick up in the recent couple months or years. Mm-hmm. Would you have any advice for people that are just starting out about kind of sticking to it and the start of that YouTube path?
I think that's the thing. I had 8 years of like every couple of months sort of putting something out. You've just got to be consistent. Like people ask me like, how did it pick up? And I just put a video out every day for 8 months. And you know, if you do that, it's bound to pick up. You've got to have the time to do that, obviously. And you've got to have some sort of focus and ideas and stuff. But really, I think just people to start doing it. Just get up and do it and start. And you'll have no views at first. And then eventually it'll pick up.
Yeah. I was going to say, well, your type of shorts, you've got a specific style of short, haven't you?
Yeah.
And did that take you a little while to craft? Or was it just one day you said, I'm going to do a video like this. And that's just what I'm going to do forever now.
Do you know what? It was a bit of a blur, really. Like the first short I made... In that style, the first time I talked on camera, I just did it and I got a bit lucky with it and it like got like 200,000 views. So I was just like, oh, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And I did that every day for the last year.
Yeah.
And I got 100,000 YouTube subscribers in that time. So yeah, it's just, sometimes it is a bit of luck, but I just found that what style was going to work very early on.
Yeah. I suppose if it works, why change it?
Yeah.
Just keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. That shorts world's weird, isn't it?
It's like, very odd.
We find it all the time where stuff you don't expect to pop off just does really well. Have you had any instances of that where you've put a video out thinking, maybe this won't do too well, and then it's just exploded?
Yeah, and to be honest, it's like the ones that you don't think will do well seem to be the ones that will take off. Yeah. And the ones that you're really confident in will not get anywhere.
Yeah. The ones you put the most effort into, the most research and everything, and it just flops entirely. Yeah.
And then... it's so silly in that way, and I find it with TikTok more than anything. It's like the ones that you really don't think will do well, but the ones that will make you. Because on TikTok now, I don't know if you know this, you need to make a minute long videos to get paid on TikTok. Mm. So I've had to change up that style a bit because I was always doing these shorter videos. And I'm surprised there'd be more backlash on that, really. Do you guys do TikTok?
We do, but we aren't past the threshold of actually making money from it. So we haven't had to go into one minute
conform
videos
yet.
Imagine these people who make a living off TikTok, like they had to change their style totally.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this will be like a big backlash, and I didn't hear anything about it. Did you?
No, I didn't even know it was a thing that was implemented.
Yeah. I saw little bits about it, and I also saw the other day that TikTok introduced something where now you can only do 30 videos a month, which you get paid from.
Really?
Yeah, so a lot of people, like gaming creators, will obviously do playthroughs, which are like 5-minute clips, and they'll be getting paid for each video, and now it's only going to be 30, or it was something like 30, and then the money drops to practically nothing. So it's weird, the online weird world practices. there's constantly changes like that affect people's careers as well, because you never really know what's going to happen, and it's not up to you either.
Well, like we were saying about the weird TikToks that pop off, I think one of our best, most viewed TikToks currently is us saying about how if you get mac and cheese from Toby Carver, you're wrong-un.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, God, right. Well, let me throw in my 2 cents here. So I've never understood that.
Yeah.
And like I've got 2 Italian grandmas, and they looked at it and they were just like, this does not go. Like, we love mac and cheese, but not with gravy.
Yeah, it's a bizarre choice. Weird? It is very weird.
My God.
And then if you're with somebody that chooses that, you kind of start to have second thoughts. Mm. Do I really want to be around this person anymore? Yeah. Not quite sure.
I 100% think that's wrong. But on the music front, you're a massive music fan, and there's a question we ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and it is for your dream festival. So we want a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday night headliner. Mm-hmm. You can throw in some other smaller acts if you want to.
Dead or living.
So we have people that have made super groups out of deceased and living people.
Wow.
So the door's open to absolutely anything that you want to go with.
Interesting. Right. Okay, this is going to be an obvious Friday night. The Beatles from 1964.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I'm going to go earlier. Cavern era Beatles, 1962. That'd be a good start.
Okay.
Bring in a few people, resurrect a couple of members. That'd be nice. Right, next Saturday night, I would go for, this is just my personal favourite, the Stranglers. I'm a big Stranglers fan. You can just go see them at a festival now on the Saturday night, which is probably not as big a pull as the 1962 Beatles. But I reckon if you have the Beatles first, people stick around for the Stranglers.
You're getting them in for that then, aren't you? Yeah.
And then on Sunday, I would have Thin Lizzy from the late 70s, resurrect Phil Lynott. And bring him back. I like a lot of older stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, we can tell now.
I mean, I really struggle with a lot of modern music. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys can help me. I don't know. It's recently I've been trying a little bit to get in some more modern stuff, but I am stuck firmly in the last century at the moment.
So what kind of like artists and musicians would you say inspired your journey in the first place then? Would it be people from that era?
Yeah, so I'm massive into 60s and 70s stuff. I like me Motown and me funk and soul and me punk stuff and me 60s pop hits. But I am stuck in a little bit of
a little time capsule.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to leave it. Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
When I was about 9 or 10, the first proper music I got into was all the new metal stuff. Mm-hmm. So I used to, do you remember in the Corn Exchange, remember Grin? In Leeds Corn Exchange. How old are you two?
I'm nearly 30.
I'm 23.
Right, okay. You should remember this. So it was like the rock shop, and it was in Leeds Corn Exchange. And I used to go there. I was 9 years old, and I had my little Papa Roach badge here and my little Limp Bizkit and stuff, and I was well into that stuff. And so I get a bit nostalgic for that now and then. I go and put on some hybrid theory or whatever.
Whoa, yeah, we've just done something recently, and yeah. Hybrid Theory was the top of my debut album. What an album.
That's the one for me. Like, there's a few albums where back to front you can listen to every song, and that's up there for me. Like, every song's a banger.
Yeah, and I think the craft of albums as a whole has been lost recently anyway. Yeah. People are just after singles now.
Yeah, that's
true. I think that's one of the main issues as to why maybe like people like yourself struggle to get into newer music, because there's a lot of people that prefer the long form listening of a whole LP or an album or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas nowadays, there's nobody making full length albums really in the style that they used to. There's not as much craft or effort put into them.
I liked I've seen the new Hives album.
Yeah.
No,
the Hives are good. And they're really good live as well. They're one of the most energetic performers I've ever seen.
They were here not so long ago, weren't they?
Yeah, I nearly went. I seen them support Arctic Monkeys in Manchester last year. And they were one of the best support acts I've ever seen. He, at one point, was swinging the microphone around and cracked himself in the head and was bleeding out on stage as a support act as well. That's so wild. But where do you stand in terms of... Obviously, you mentioned they're going out and like looking for albums and stuff. Are you still in that frame of mind, or are you more digital now? Do you use Spotify or Apple Music or something?
I'd love to say I just went out and bought albums, but just financially, it's so much easier to get on Spotify.
Yeah,
and I used to like have CD player in the car and go out and buy CDs and stuff, but it's very easy now just to have every song in the world on your device.
Mm. I think I've gotten the polar opposite way, whereas I had CDs in that when I was younger, and then I went into the world of streaming when Spotify came out in like 2010, 11-ish, I think it was stuck on that for ages. Then recently got myself a vinyl player.
Right.
I've now been going backwards and buying vinyls instead of listening to streaming services. So it's a cool little,
to go. No, once I'm made a load of money, I'll do that. But, not
but I agree that it's very, very expensive to do. Yeah. And it's one of those where I kind of treat myself once a month to a nice little vinyl of like an album that I already liked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's also good to be able to go and find new works that you didn't know that you would have liked.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So are you two musicians?
I'm not as such. I can play the drums, but I sold them a little while ago.
Right.
But I'm not. I wish I was, you know. I've tried to learn to play guitar a couple times, and I've never had the consistency to be able to do it. Or I would claim the time, but it's more I've never put the time in or put it aside. But I'd love to be. Tim is though.
Yes. Yeah. I play bass predominantly.
Oh, great.
And then I just dabble in other things like keyboard and guitar and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but I'd say bass is my predominant one.
Oh dear.
But
oh, brilliant.
Not to the level of yourself, unfortunately. Maybe
what
one
sort
day.
Of stuff do you do?
I kind of just have a playlist on Spotify of songs that I've learned and then just jam along to them and then occasionally just sit there, you know, papping away on the strings and just messing around. Mm, I've been playing for about maybe about 10 years now, and off.
Yeah, yeah.
So not too bad.
Oh, brilliant.
Whereas yourself is a man of many instruments.
Yes. It's funny you should mention that because I've brought some.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
I didn't even notice them there.
Right, do you know what this is?
It's a banjo, isn't it?
No.
Oh,
looks like a banjo.
It's not a banjo, that. Banjo-lele.
Banjo-lele. So, this is one of my favourite instruments.
Okay.
It's no one else's favourite instrument ever. You know who George Formby is?
Yeah. Cleaning windows, Joe.
He was a window cleaner.
Yeah.
I love the banjo-lele.
That's amazing.
It's the most annoying instrument ever. I feel like it fits my personality really well because it's just, it's a bit cheeky, it's a bit sneaky. That's my 2 cents on the best instrument ever, the banjo-lele.
That's fantastic. Such a small instrument as well.
Yeah.
Is that ever played as part of someone's set? Like, is that a regular thing?
I can't believe you don't know George Formby.
I've heard of George Foreman.
Yeah, but George Foreman. George Foreman. He makes the grills.
George.
All right,
George
I'm out.
That's got to have been a bit there. Come off it.
I've got you twice now. Yeah. I've got you twice now. I'm out of here.
I'm not having that.
That was good though, wasn't it?
It was.
The second one was. I actually thought it was George Foreman the second time.
No, I don't think George Foreman's ever played a banjo.
No.
I've also got... Oh, I should have got prepared as well then. You know what's in the case?
Not off the top of our heads. Do you want to have a guess? Come on then.
I think I might actually know what it is from the email, but it doesn't look like it, so I'm not going to say. I don't want to hurt myself again.
I'm going to go with baby acoustic guitar.
Is it George Foreman?
is it George Grill?
Is it a grill?
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, wow.
You know what that is?
No. A bass ukulele, yes, is what I'm going to go with. Is it actually?
Well, I think it's known as a U-bass.
U-bass, that sounds like a bit better. Bass ukulele's cool, though, yeah.
That is mental.
And the idea is, it's a double bass, but it's this size.
That's fantastic. I was going to say, it's got the sound of a double bass, hasn't
it? Yeah,
yeah, that's amazing.
And it's fretless.
I could listen to you do that all day long, I think.
I'm going to listen to you do it.
This is going to be the rest of the podcast.
Oh, no. Been put on the spot now.
I thought you were going to play Smoke on the Water then.
This is very the classic. Am I in the right place?
Yeah, you'll struggle with that.
It's going to struggle with
that. So do you know what the strings are?
Do not know.
The strings, imitation lamb intestine.
Oh, lovely.
On old double basses, they used to have gut strings, so made out of intestines. So this is meant to... There you go.
Is it natural?
Mr. Non-Music.
Yeah.
There we go.
You should have started years ago. You'd be great by now.
It was, yeah. It's the one song I know how to play on acoustic guitar.
Oh, that's amazing. So... How many of these weird and wonderful instruments would you say that you are in possession of?
Well, I have the normal ones. Mm-hmm. So I usually play bass, guitar, a bit of keyboard and piano, regular ukulele, a bit of harmonica, I do a bit of singing. And then I've got my novelty ones, which are the banjolele, the fretless U-bass. And we had an idea, did me and my management, that we're going to get a didgeridoo soon.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, very nice.
But I'm actually going to try to put strings on the didgeridoo as well. Make it a woodwind and...
Oh, wow.
I figured out how this would work. Yeah.
There's an idea there. Yeah, how you execute it's going to be the difficult part. Mm. But there's a fair amount of people on YouTube that do that kind of creating their own instruments and those sort of stuff. There's Rob Scallon and those type of
Have you seen
creators.
The 3D spinning guitar that's come out recently.
I think it was Charles Bertow played it recently something. That looks insane. Absolutely crazy.
So I don't know how it works. I didn't watch it properly, but it's like a drill. You hold your hand there and the guitar spins round.
That is mad.
Yeah.
That is sick.
It is proper.
It's one of those things I wish I invented first. But
yeah. Well, you're going to have the woodwind bass soon.
That's true. So. Yeah. Oh, that says it all, doesn't it? I've got the bass didgeridoo.
Yeah. Champion
compared to the very expensive spinning round drill guitar.
Do you ever get to use any wonderful and weird instruments outside of your own repertoire? Because I know that you used to do some work for Gear for Music with testing instruments and that.
So the company that's built a couple of my basses is called Brian Eastwood Basses, and they have one called the Bender Collision Bass. You ever heard of this?
I haven't.
I'll have to send you a photo. It's like they melt their basses, so it's like it's made of plastic and it's melted into a puddle. Yeah, that's really nice.
That's sick.
I'll have to give you a picture of that. With the Gear for Music stuff, that was always interesting because you get a weird variety of, like, there was one that was a hybrid between a bass guitar and an upright. So it was a bass guitar, but it had a spike in it, and you could hold it up like this, and that was interesting. The twin necks, the guitar
twin
and the bass
necks.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but I hate five-string basses.
I'm aware of that. Yeah.
And I had to do a lot on five strings. And if you read the comments, everyone's just saying, this guy does not know how to play five strings. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, I never said
I hate them.
Yeah. So do you purposely just leave the fifth string out if you were to be given a five-string?
Well,
would you ignore it?
I don't want to give away an upcoming video but I figured out a way that I can enjoy a five-string bass, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Ooh, is that?
I'm excited for that one. That should be good. Excited for that. Yeah.
When was the last time you did a live performance? I know that you're in a band. Is it the Vonderplatz? I want to say that correctly.
Say
the
Vonderplanets.
Vonderplanets.
Yeah, with Vonderplanets. Yeah, it was just me and my mates, and we're kind of a real, like, back bedroom band where we just record on the cheap and stuff. I've never really been in any big bands doing any big gigs and stuff. So, you know, people sort of look at my YouTube and they think, all right, what else is he doing? Where can I come see him live? And I'm just like, oh, well, I'm playing in this local pub in Chipley. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, coming down to Altair.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about keeping it fun as well, though, isn't it?
I'm still looking for the next thing to do. I'm not going to lie. This kind of, it's all come about quite quick as all this. So I think I'm still trying to discover what I'm going to be doing. And I feel like I'll get back to you in about a year and say, yes, I'm playing here. Come see me play at the Brudenell Social Club. But yeah. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. I think being a session musician, like by nature, that's interesting for a lot of people because they probably don't know what actually goes into it. So is it something where you're told in advance what you need to do, or do you turn up on the day and you've got to improvise? Or
so, like, the majority of my stuff now session wise is recording at home in my bedroom, which is great because
that's the dream.
Yeah. I think, like, before in the olden days, there was a lot of like traveling around and going to studios. Do you know what red light fever is? Have you heard of this before? Mm. It's a very old term from the 50s where you've learnt your part, you're all ready to go, and when you're on tape and the red light comes on to say record, you go, and you can't, and your hands don't work. And you know, everyone suffers from that, but when you're doing it by yourself in your bedroom, you can have as much takes as you want, and that is the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I won this award for Bassist of the Year, every year prior to that was you go to London, you do a live show, and then all the judges. And I feel like I would have struggled. I really do, because, you know, on camera you do as many takes as you want, keep going. And then, but this year was the COVID year, and so they just did it on video instead. So I was able to do 27 takes of my performance.
They're going to see this and rescind the award. It had to be one take. Yeah.
So had you entered that competition prior? Was this your first time entering?
I entered 2 years before. Ooh. First year, got nowhere. Then the next year, I got in the top 10, but didn't quite make it. And then that year was my year. And they've not done one since, so I'm the reigning champion.
Yeah, you're undefeated at this
forever.
Point.
Yeah, the bassist of the year.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, as a whole, that side of things seems very, I don't know, it seems like it'd be quite tense.
Yeah, like, I mean, you'd like to think that, you know, music is not a competition and stuff like that, but for me, it really helped me out. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, it opened the door for some new opportunities and stuff. So, you know, I'm really glad I did it and I'm really glad I got there. But, you know, it's nice to see that they're not doing it anymore in a way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like it shouldn't be like, oh, this is the winner of this competition each year. But I'm glad I won it.
Yeah, rightfully so. Yeah. And well deserved. Oh, yeah. The video itself is very impressive, I have to say. Yeah. So with that, did you have the backing track provided to you and then you had to come up with the bass line to go on top of it, or was
no.
it an entire just your
no,
composition?
No, it was just do your own thing. And in the couple of years prior, the winners were all, you know, the sort of stuff that I hate, the kind of really slow and reverb and playing all up the solo bass. I can't stand it. Can't stand that. So I was just like, I'll do my own thing. If it fails, it fails. But thankfully, they liked it. So I feel that's what's lacking in the bass playing world at the moment is being a bass player.
Yes. Yeah, it's very grandioso. Yeah. And it's kind of, it's not in a bad way because I do enjoy the meme side of it. But I think the bass kind of atmosphere on YouTube is currently kind of very memey in a way, and a lot of people are just doing like covers and stuff like that. You've got Big Davey 504, of course, which I think he's interacted with you once or twice perhaps.
He very kindly put me in one of his videos recently, but now I realize that's just to say, oh, I'm gonna like steal your idea. Which I don't blame him for. You know we all get inspired by each other.
I mean, it's amazing how like prevalent the bass community is on YouTube, though. As an instrument, I started playing it, I never thought, oh, people are actually going to care about this.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing, isn't it? It's like a horizontal instrument in the world of vertical smartphone videos, but you can't hear them out the speakers. Yeah, so it's one of those weird things.
Yeah,
so I do understand why people do the higher up stuff, but I think with Davey, with all respect to him, he's like, you know, he's got more people interested in the bass guitar, so I can't disrespect him too much.
I think he was one of the people that I first started watching, like maybe like 10 years ago now, where he was doing like 10 video game theme songs on bass kind of thing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like my mates were saying, have you seen this Davey 504 guy? And he was getting to a point where just people that weren't interested in bass were watching him. And I thought, this is such a surreal, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know too much about the community. Who did you start off watching when you were getting into bass YouTube on music YouTube, was it?
He was the, like, OG.
And it was always, like, 10 steps ahead of me.
Yeah.
It still is, you know what I mean? And it's easy to be a bit jealous, but, you know, he's up there and he's doing his thing and he's doing really well from it. But I used to watch his stuff and I was very inspired by his stuff. It's like... He's always had the best audio production, really great ideas and stuff. And yeah, Charles Baer too. Have you seen this guy? You'll know him. Yeah. He's probably the best bass player in the world.
Wow. What he does with that, he plays the bass like it's a piano. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah. And it's not even just limited to basses, is it?
No.
It's just across the board. And there was a video he did recently where he was in an arena with tens of thousands of drummers.
Yeah.
It was just him playing along.
He had like
1,000
drummers. He was playing bass with 1,000 drummers.
That is mental.
Yeah,
really impressive.
But speaking of arenas, I wondered if you could play at any venue in the world, where would you choose? We had someone pick the Pyramids of Giza the other week.
Oh, did you know there's a stage at the Pyramids?
Yeah,
no.
I didn't know that you can play at the Rome Colosseum as well. I didn't know that there's actually concerts there. So if you could play anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I would play at the Ring of Bells pub in Shipley. other than that, where would I like to play? I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'm going to sound like a bit of a Beatles fanatic here. You know, they played on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. I'd like to play there. I'd like to do a concert, because I don't think people do that anymore, do they?
No.
That I know of. I'd like to get up there and do my own songs and have a big crowd watching me, and I'd be a Beatles fanboy and do that.
That's something that's kind of gone to the wayside a bit, is big bands, because they were a big band when they did
they're playing on rooftops.
Yeah, that's it. No, I was going to say playing on rooftops, doing kind of like disruptive things, because the police weren't happy with them doing it, were they?
No, the police come and dragged them away.
Yeah.
They said that they were hoping they were going to be like dragging them off, kicking and screaming, and be a great end, but they just sort of led them away.
Yeah, it's just kind of walked off.
Maybe we need a Danny Sapko rooftop Shipley gig.
Yeah, there we go. The Shipley Clock Tower. I'll go on top of that.
Sorted. Yeah.
The new Beatles.
Yeah.
Either that or you could be the B-Sharps.
Yes.
Yeah, they did it on the roof as well. They were the second best band to do a rooftop performance.
Exactly. Oh, I do take it back. That is another rooftop band. Do you have any idea what we're on about?
No, not really.
I didn't think so. That's Simpsons.
To be honest, I expected this to go this way because I've got two bass experts and I'm here like an overall music fan.
What's happening?
I'm not sure who Danny 504 is, but he sounds like he's good at it. But did I get it right?
David.
Oh.
this is Danny 504. Well, no, actually, do you know about my nickname? So he's Davey 504 and I'm Danny 4'4".
That's great. I was thinking Danny Slapko.
Yeah. That is a good one.
I do like that one.
Yeah. But I don't really like slap bass.
No.
It would work if I was into all that. Yeah.
So on the odd video that you do slap bass, that's when you're throwing that.
Yes, my alter ego.
Here he comes.
Bring him out.
Here comes Slapko.
Slap bass sounds so weird. I don't know if I'm into slapping my bass.
Oh no, it's
no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I call it spanking your plank.
No, I love that one. And obviously, on the playing in any venue, if you could join any band in history, who would it be? So you're their bass player.
Ooh.
What band would you pick?
That's a good question.
Okay.
And not the Beatles.
Well, no, it wouldn't be the Beatles. I've always said, and this is the worst answer ever, my dream gig would be rhythm guitar for Status Quo. You know, where you play the two chords. Da, 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 da. I love that.
I did say it could be whatever you want, so...
No, I'm going to think of something better than that. That's the worst answer ever. Okay, if I could play bass for any band. You see, I'm just big into the Stranglers. Are you too aware of the Stranglers?
I've heard of them, but I'm not a fan as such.
So it's like a real bass-focused...
Right.
It's where like the bass is front and center, and that's the kind of band I want to be in, where like forget everyone else, I am the bass man, and I am at the front.
That's me.
Yeah, I would play bass in the Stranglers.
I respect that. Do you know, whenever I think of bassist, the first person that comes to mind is Flea.
Yes.
Because he is absolutely off his rocker.
He's crazy.
And I love him. He's in all sorts of TV shows and stuff now. But I seen Red Hot Chili Peppers last year in Belgium.
Yeah.
And he was running around stage in his boxers, just losing his mind. Yeah. And I thought, what a legend.
You're lucky he was in his boxers.
Do you know about his first film appearance? I'm going to test you two here.
No, what was it?
Any ideas?
I know. I don't know if it would be the Wild Thornberrys movie.
Oh, he was in that.
He was in Wild Thornberrys.
In 1985. Ring any bells?
No.
He was in Back to the Future.
Was he?
Yeah. So, you know Back to the Future?
Yeah.
So, like the drag race in the car, he was the guy driving the other car in the truck.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I love little tidbits like that. That's the best kind of information. Those are all just the facts that end up flying around your head. Did you know?
But I seen him in The Mandalorian pretty recently. I believe he was in that.
Was he?
Or was it Andor? He was in one of the Star Wars TV shows and I've seen
it. Wow.
Right, you two carry on and I'm going to find out which Star Wars. I want to make sure I'm correct.
Well, all right, I've got another weird trivia question for you. So, you know the original Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah.
You seen that?
Yeah, unfortunately. The terrifying, terrifying nightmare. Yeah.
You know, I can't remember which character it is. So, like, the real spoiled brat girl, right?
Veruca Salt?
I think it's Veruca.
Yeah, I think it's Veruca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
so,
a name, Veruca.
No. So, her dad. Can you get up a picture of her dad? Do you mind? I'm already doing two things at once.
No. Flea, by the way, was in the Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show. I knew I was right.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
He was playing a villain. Whose dad am I getting up,
So, the actor's called Roy Kinnear, right? And he's in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the original. And he plays Veruca's dad, right? So, do you know what this guy looks like?
Is he the business guy? Big guy. Big fan. Yeah.
Right, there he is in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
How old is that man in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
He looks about 60, 50 to 60.
Yeah, late 40s.
That is a 37-year-old man.
Damn.
And I was just thinking, like, in the olden days, people aged.
As soon as you went third, I was like, nah. I was like, no way.
Yeah, I'll put that up on screen for any viewers. That is wild.
I bet you didn't expect to talk about that today.
No. But I mean, nowadays, like, I don't even know what to expect. Like, the aging process just seems to have changed entirely if that's a 37-year-old man.
Yeah, I know.
Skincare, mate. It's called skincare. that's probably what I'm going to look like when I'm 37, to be honest. Maybe not quite that bad, but I'll try my best. But snacks, Tim.
Snacks, yeah.
Oh.
Yes. So we've got two items for technically three items for you.
Okay.
That have been somewhat requested.
You got them.
Unfortunately, well, we got one. We could not acquire the other. Care to guess which was which?
You couldn't get the cereal.
Oh, okay.
You got the cereal. You didn't get the cereal. No way.
He says as he fails to grab it.
No way. Oh, there we go.
There we go. So for everybody at home, this is the closest to chocolate frosted flakes that exists nowadays.
Wow.
Unfortunately, chocolate frosted flakes are no more. It's chocolate milkshake frosted flakes.
Okay, no, I fully accept that.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah. So, I've been after these for about 8 years. I can't believe they found them. So,
just don't eat them. They actually went out of date in 2011.
Yeah, I found them in a cupboard.
You're joking.
No. No, they're in date. They're in date. They're well in date. Yes, don't worry about it.
They are in date.
They are indeed.
So they used to sell these in B&M when I was younger, right? And I've been trying to get hold of them. And I've seen, even when I've tried to order them online, I couldn't get them. And I thought, you'll have no chance. What I thought you'd do is you'd get chocolate cornflakes, because you can get them.
Yeah.
But you've got one better.
Gone all the way out for Mr. Sapko himself. How could we not?
Fantastic.
The unfortunate thing was Bradley's. I spoke to Eileen at Bradley's. and then I was also on the phone with Morrison's for about 30 minutes, customer support, trying to find stock of it.
Mm-hmm.
No stock anywhere of Bradley's jellied eels, unfortunately. This is what I thought would be the next best thing, which is jelly snakes. I know it's not even in the same field house.
No, you know what? You're doing well there. Right, let's try this. Do you mind?
Let's go ahead.
It's been a common theme of our guests recently, hasn't it?
We've had a couple of American guests on and we keep making them, well, one American band and one German band, and we've made them try British snacks both times.
Oh, brilliant.
So we've had them add Monster Munch, salt and vinegar squares, double deckers, all sorts.
Oh, wow. So, I'm surprised I could open that. Do you know why? Because the weird thing about me, and people say, oh, how are you so good at this? I can't open bin bags. You know, carrier bags or bin bags. I can do none of that. So I was about to think, I'm going to struggle.
About,
an hour. Right, let's give you a second.
It's not quite jelly deals. Although I did say to Tim, it's probably a positive we couldn't find them because otherwise for the rest of the episode, it'd stink a fish.
Well, you know what? I was going to make you two try them as well. You never
That's what I was looking forward to doing. Tried them. One of the reasons I wanted to get them so badly is because I thought, you know, I want to give these a try now.
You never tried them?
No. Never tried them. I'm still going to stay on the lookout for them.
What do you think they taste like?
Eel.
What I imagined
have you had regular eels?
No.
What I imagined it to be in my head was like a snail in pork pie jelly.
Oh, like that's a great description.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's giving me a visceral like.
It pretty much is. It tastes more like white fish. It's like cod in beef gelatin. It's pretty horrid, but I love it. Yeah. Do you want to know something else weird? I put egg in me beer.
What?
Whoa. You can't just go, do you want to know something? What do you mean?
So I drink like Tetley's Bitter or John Smith's like real like plastic Yorkshire ale and I put a raw egg in it.
That's not on.
What do you...
Have you got a Tetley's in an egg?
No, I've got I'll have a beer in an egg somewhere though, I think. Yeah,
there'll be a beer kicking around in an egg.
Go on.
Go get that egg and that beer.
I need a fork as well.
So are you going to be making some kind of scrambled concoction here? Do you then pour it into a pan, make a cheeky omelette, or...?
No, I was known... I've always liked to eat weird stuff. When I was a kid, my favourite was strawberry jam and beans on toast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah, I had a bit of an idea for a side YouTube channel where it was going to be Uncle Sapko's weird recipes or something. I can think of a better name than that.
I mean, it would work. It would work, though. It would work. There's some crazy recipe. I saw somebody the other day that was putting chocolate spread with... Yeah. Do you know those Takis that they have in America?
Oh, yeah.
Those, like, really hot ones. Chocolate spread in that apparently works really well.
That sounds good. The best one I've heard is super noodles and lemon curd.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
I might give that a try. I'm a big fan of super noodles, just noodles in general. Yeah. Some people get weirded out by the most basic stuff, though. Like, I used to take my super noodles, make them really stodgy, get rid of all the water, and then what I'd do is I'd throw cheese on them and throw them into a toasty machine, at which point it would make, like, handheld noodles. And I thought that was the greatest invention that anybody could come up with, because then you don't need a plate or anything like that. Mm. Everybody I tell it to go, that sounds horrible.
Well... Are you a man of science?
Somewhat. It depends. It depends where this is going to go.
Sorry, I've got half-eaten jelly snake.
No, it's all right. Don't worry.
So, do you want one, by the way?
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah. So, when I was in uni, we didn't have a grill. In fact, didn't have much other than a microwave and a toaster, right? I wanted cheese on toast, right? Toaster on the side. Cheese, toast, Worcester sauce. Put it in the toaster. Thick black smoke and ruined toaster, right? And everyone I've told that has said, oh, you idiot. And then I've said, why? And no one can tell me why it hasn't worked.
I was going to say, that sounds like a great idea. As you were saying it, my eyes lit up and I was going, this is great. I don't know.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah, what an idiot. But then no one's told me why. You just knocked over George Foreman's banjo.
Yeah, George Foreman's going to be mad now.
You don't want to make George Foreman mad. Yeah.
The thing is, I couldn't even play it off that I was faking it anymore because it was real on the George Foreman. I said something before where I was joking, though. Right, I need a bottle opener.
Have you?
The man's prepared. He's got his own egg as well.
You've got a choice of two very strange beers, so you can either pick a Hoggoblin or a Desperado.
Not the Desperado.
I don't think that would
like
go well with
make
egg.
It more entertaining at the same time.
Yeah. He's utilitarian over here. He's got it all.
You know what the best thing is? I'm driving, so I can't have all of this. So you two have got to help me finish off my egg beer.
That's fine. I will give it a go. I am happy to give it a go.
Okay.
Joe doesn't look the most convinced at the moment.
Right, I don't even like Hoggoblin, never mind with an egg.
So... Free warning, salmonella, right?
Yeah, it's a thing.
From what I've eaten raw eggs like a lot. I'm going to sound like an absolute weirdo.
Would you be able to before you do now? This? Yeah. Could you just move your mug to the other side so that you pick up the?
Good point.
What I've heard, and I've never got ill from raw eggs ever, but I've heard the salmonella is on the shell. But be careful. I don't recommend anyone does this ever. Danny does not recommend eating raw eggs. Right, I'm trying to get raw eggs.
So I bought a mug for you to put the shell in after.
Okay. Right, this is helpful.
Clever man.
You see, I thought of everything here.
Yeah, it's not bad. This is the first time we've had anything of this caliber on this show. Even close to this.
Right, so it's meant to be a hangover cure, is this?
Right.
And what people do is they pour the beer and then they put the raw egg in on the top, and then you swallow the raw egg at the bottom. I don't like that. It's a bit too much. So I beat the egg.
Do you want a bit of salt and pepper?
No. Are you mad? Right. You never heard of this before?
No.
I'm in complete awe currently. I'm waiting to see what
this combination of the beer is.
I feel like you may be making shit up on the fly to make us drink this.
Do you know what's funny? It's in a Guinness glass and it kind of looks like a Guinness settling.
Don't say that.
Oh, do you know what a black velvet is?
No.
It's a Guinness and champagne cocktail.
Oh, yeah. That actually sounds all right, to be fair. I could probably, this sounds better than Hobgoblin egg.
To be fair, so I'd usually do it like a brown ale or a...
I have so many questions that aren't going to be answered.
Yeah.
So for any audio listeners, you probably want to watch this on video.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It works really well. Right, give it a go.
That's to you first, that. Well, I got pushed your way.
You ever had throw up on this show before?
Not yet, no. But we might get there.
It doesn't actually taste that bad.
We might get there. I don't imagine it would taste bad.
It just tastes like beer.
It's the fact that there's things floating around in it that just puts me off slightly.
The thing is, it's a beer I don't like as well, so I feel like that's enough for me.
It's not the right sort of beer. I'm not going to lie.
Oh. You're going in for seconds. There's no way. You are disgusting, mate.
It's hard to say how I feel about it. To put it into, I don't hate it. I definitely don't hate it.
I just opened my phone to that, and that is my reaction.
That's a great reaction. Yeah.
How many bathrooms you got in this?
Well.
The best bit is when you get to the bottom, anyway, because that's where you get all the egg at the bottom.
I don't think we'll be making it to the bottom for some reason.
No, not at this point. No, like, is that something that you commonly do?
Yes, as my manager will. Agree to.
I will slowly nodding in the corner for people who.
Yeah. Like watch The Apprentice Thursday nights and have a Tetley's and an egg in it.
And what spurred that on? There's many questions that we could ask right now.
This is an old recipe. This is like it was a hangover cure. Mm-hmm. People used to do. I think it's a Newcastle thing. They used to put the brown ale with an egg in it. And then what's that? What's the Who film? Tommy. You know, have you ever heard of that? Tommy the Musical. Uncultured swines. Keith Moon from The Who. Drummer, Keith Moon.
No of.
Ring I know bell? The
no
Who.
Of. You know The Who? Drummer, mad drummer.
Yeah, he just rings bells, doesn't he?
Rings bells and plays drums. He did it in the film as well. So it's like an old age thing. I don't know if you can tell I'm stuck in the past.
I was about to say.
I mean, to be fair, you are wearing a shirt in which Bradford FC was still in the Premier League.
Bradford
so.
FC.
Is it Bradford? Is it not FC?
Is it Bradford Town?
Oh, it's Bradford City, isn't it?
Bradford City.
Yeah, sorry.
City. What year?
Oh, God. I've never in my life seen a Bradford City shirt with a Premier League badge on, so it's quite impressive that you managed to source one of them.
Can you have a guess what year?
1994.
Any advances?
98.
99.
Oh!
Yeah.
I don't know how I got closer there.
2001. I've seen you in your Leeds shirt. So the problem is, I don't know if we're going into Leeds afterwards. I'll suggest, you know, Little Tokyo. I'm suggesting we go there for some eels.
Ooh. Eel it up.
I can't go with this on, can I?
Nah, you'd be right.
I think you'd be all right.
You reckon?
Yeah. I was walking around Manchester in a Leeds shirt the other week and no one said out to me. And it was on the day of the Manchester Derby and still no one said out to me.
It's because you look hard as nails.
That's what it is. That's what it is, yeah.
I'd defo get my head kicked in. A 1,000,000%. But back onto the music, Danny. Mm. I wondered, we've mentioned many of these weird and wonderful instruments, and obviously there's loads of them on your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. How much do you think you've spent altogether on these instruments? This is going to be a damning statement, I'm sure.
Okay. So, luckily nowadays, I borrow a load of stuff or I get sent a load of stuff. So that is the beauty of YouTube. People want you to see, you know, doing stuff with your instruments. However, I reckon I probably spent about $5,000 to $10,000 over the years on instruments, but you buy and sell. So yeah. I don't, at the moment, if I get something in, I sell another one off. Mm-hmm. But I do currently have 27 basses.
Wow.
Where do you store all these basses?
In my new studio. So ooh. I've only just recently moved over. So I was in Saltaire before. I've just moved up the road now. And I've got a bit more storage space. So yeah, before it was a bit cluttered. And before you wouldn't see this because all you'd see is a lovely green screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Surrounded by instruments.
Yeah, a little corner boxes. In the room. Yeah.
Cigar ends and eggshells.
Oh, God. Scattered everywhere.
Empty Tetley cans all over the room. It's painting a bad picture. Has there ever been an instrument you've sold that you've massively regretted selling later on? Maybe it's gone up in value or you just missed playing it?
Yeah, a six-string bass. So although I hate five-string basses. Right, hold on, Not a traditional six-string bass. So, have you heard of a Fender 6?
No.
So, it's a guitar, but all tuned down an octave. So, you can strum it like a guitar, but all the strings are lower. So, that low E will still be the lowest string, but then you get up to a high E as well. And I had a nice one of them, and I sold it. And to compensate, I tried to get a regular Strat guitar and put bass strings on it, and I've completely ruined it. In fact, that is my video this Friday.
Oh, fantastic.
He's talking about this Strat that I ruined.
So you did a short recently, didn't you, with bass strings on a guitar and guitar strings on a bass?
It's that same thing. Yeah. I just thought, like, I need to make more use of this instrument that I've ruined.
That you've created a monstrosity out of. Well, I mean, it works. It gets the job done. I think using anything of that sort is always... I don't know if it's a bad thing, because like we were saying earlier with the weird and wonderful world of YouTube, mm-hmm. I think you're in a great position where you can experiment with instruments and you could potentially, like you're saying with your didgeridoo bass, you could create the next big thing.
Yeah, what I've done that I think I've never seen anyone do before is I put double bass, you know, like upright bass strings on a bass, and that was amazing. It took some bit of DIY. I had to get some... basically hedge clippers and really flatten them down so they'd fit through the end. But yeah, and that stuck. I've kept them on. That's really good. People are telling me it's going to ruin the bass, but so what?
Yeah.
It's worth it.
That's what the instrument is now. Yeah, it's not a bass anymore.
Yeah.
Because you play upright bass as well, don't you?
Yeah, not very well. I try.
I don't know. I've seen videos of you. I think you're a very modest man, it seems.
Maybe. I think... the thing is, I don't think I'm a very good guitarist either. And the thing is that I could be very good at double bass, but I just don't put a lot of practice in, so I'm a bit sloppy with it.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, I get it.
And I don't want to say, I don't know if you saw a clip of me recently. They got me up in Halifax to jump up and...
It was something I was going to mention.
Yeah, and this band are huge. They're called the Jive Aces. They were amazing. And they, tour America and all sorts. And they're, real pros at what they do. And they, got me up. And I was just a bit, And they were all in yellow suits. Did you see?
Yeah.
And I was in my grey coat.
Yeah, didn't get the memo was the caption. Yeah, that was great, yeah. So was that just on the spot? Was that just, it's Danny Sapko?
Yeah, pretty much. Someone recognised me. So the guy, I'm going to give him a shout out. He's called Martin Roper. And he lives around here, actually. And he's in... I don't want to get this wrong. I think it's the Leeds City Stompers. If I've got that wrong and it's the wrong band, that's going to be
Do you want to say a couple of them and we can cut the right one in?
Just you've got every
a couple
band.
Of guesses.
I'll let my manager have a quick look.
Yeah.
But they're he's in a few Leeds, like rockabilly and jazz band and stuff like that. And he lent me the 1952 P bass, which is in one of the first 250 basses ever made.
Wow.
Worth about $20,000. And this absolute nutter, when he came to gimme, we met up in Saltaire and he was sat there having a coffee and he had it out of the case on the pavement. There were dogs walking over.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Martin, please put it in the case. It's all right. It's only a bass.
Only a bass? Yeah. Fucking hell.
I kind of respect that, though, because it's just like enjoying it. You got to enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah, but you enjoy the 200 quid bass, not the 20 grand.
I was about to say.
No, but it reminds me of, you know, when someone gets an expensive pair of trainers, so they refuse to go out when it's raining or walk if it's muddy or out. Well, it's like, well, what's the point in having shoes then if you're not going to proper use them?
Yeah.
But I suppose maybe leaving it on dog walking path is a bit different.
Well, I was going to say, it's like leaving, it'd be akin to leaving your MacBook on a dog walking path. And that was four times less.
Yeah, sure. The one for me is these people that collect cars, you know, these old classic cars. Mm-hmm. So one of them, Nick Mason from Pink Floyd, he's the keyboard player or the drummer. He's a drummer, I think. He has like a 50 million quid Ferrari, like one of the rarest Ferraris ever. But he'll just hightail it down the road. He'll be like driving country roads in it. He goes out and uses it. And I feel like that's what you should do. There's no point it's sat there in the garage.
Yeah, gathering dust.
Wasting away.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, it's fair enough. But maybe, like, he probably still looks after that car, didn't leave it on the pavement.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
Do you have any of those collector's items? Do you have any basses or instruments that you refuse to play because you don't want to damage them? Or are very hesitant to?
I feel that is the one where I'm just like, every screw, replace a tiny screw is like over 100 quid. Damn. So it's like, you don't want to mess this up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I wanted to like change the strings and do stuff with it. And I'm just like, I better not touch it. The next one down's a Rickenbacker that I've got, a 70s Rickenbacker, which again is not mine, unfortunately. And, you know, with my videos, I like to like, let's mess about with it and change this out and see how it sounds. And I don't want to mess too much with other people's instruments. Yeah. And then you can't get it back to how they were.
Yeah, you give it back with some ukulele strings. Exactly. Sorry, there's nothing I can do. Exactly. I ruined it, but it's yours now. Here you go.
And I wondered, in your time on YouTube, how has your production quality changed? Has it gone from... Because when we first started the podcast, we were recording on a webcam with some dodgy mics.
Yeah, I'm still... Everything's duct taped up and everything's still a bit crap, unfortunately.
But I mean, the production value itself has gone leaps and bounds.
Yeah, so, you know, I learned a lot actually working for Gear for Music because I was employed there for a while and I got training with editing and stuff like that. Mm. So that really helped me. But even, I don't know how much I should say, I will do anyway. So even at high-end studios such as that, there's stuff duct taped to walls and you know what I mean? There's always stuff going wrong and you have to think of DIY solutions and stuff like that. And so it's the same with me. I'm saving up for new lights at the moment because I'll send you a little video clip of that. It's hanging off by a thread. you can see all the insides of the video. So I'm saving up for new lights. I've just got one camera. It's like a Sony vlogging camera. And I think my editing's quite good, but my gear is still in need of an upgrade.
So do you do your own editing then?
Yeah.
Because it is actually very well produced.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm still learning how to do it properly, really. I'm not very good with like colouring and colour grading. Because you see I've got a green screen, but it's not actually... I don't like make it invisible. Do you know what I mean? So I just change the colour.
Yeah.
And I had someone comment recently just saying like, coming from a print background, like your magentas are way out. And I was like,
oh sorry.
Not the magenta.
No, anything about magentas.
I'm not going to lie. Initially, I did wonder how you had so many different coloured backgrounds. And then one day I just kind of went, oh, it's chroma key. That's what's going on here. Yeah.
You can always tell if I'm being a bit lazy or if I've run out of time because it will just be green.
Just green,
And my excuse is, green's a colour.
Why not?
Yeah. Every now and then you can just leave it as that one colour. Yeah. I thought you just lived near a Wix or something, to be honest.
I think it's very eye-catching as well when you've got bright colours like that, which, circling back to The Simpsons, is why they were yellow in the first place.
Is that true?
For channel hoppers, they'd be going through channels and then they'd see yellow characters. Simpsons for you. Just wanted to throw that one in there. Unrelated to everything. But
Tim is a massive Simpsons fan and I've never been that into it, What do you think at Simpsons?
I'm a massive Simpsons fan.
Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Have you seen my Krusty the Clown necklace?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, yeah. So it's one of these, another figurine. But I make it with bass strings. When I get rid of my bass strings, I make necklaces out of them.
That's Ace idea.
However, don't do that because nickel can be very irritating to the
disc. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good
and
point,
I didn't realise you only do that with stainless steel strings.
You end up with a green neck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was expecting you to say Krusty the Clown impression then, and I was getting a bit
excited. I was waiting for either compression or cosplay. I was like, it's going he might have dressed up as him at some point. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm not drinking this. I'm just moving it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going for a little sip then.
No.
Sip?
No, I'm all right. I think that's a bad move.
Are you already feeling the consequences?
No, do you know what? As long as I don't get salmonella, it actually didn't taste too bad.
It wasn't terrible. No. It sits differently inside you than a normal beer. I'll put it that way. There's been a couple where I've gone,
do you want the rest of it, Tim?
Yeah. Oh, I'm good. I'm good, sure? Mate. I'm good, yeah.
If you really want a challenge sometime, I once had a Baileys and Cherryade.
Ooh.
Oh, I bet that separates badly.
That wasn't a good idea.
That sounds like it would kind of taste like some kind of cherry Bakewell or...
You should try it sometime.
Is it?
You shouldn't try it.
You shouldn't try it. No, okay, it's not even a recommendation.
It's a curdling hell.
Good. Kind of like when you were a kid and you had a little bit of leftover milk in your bowl and cereal and you pour the orange juice in and it makes it.
I never did that. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Did you?
I didn't drink it.
I used to pour glasses of Calpol though.
Oh, true.
Glasses of Calpol.
It might as well have been. Yeah.
To be fair, Calpol did taste amazing. Yeah, it did. I used to love that stuff.
Yeah.
I can't. Neither of you did that. Is it just me?
Orange. Oh, you put orange juice with your cereal and milk?
No. So you have the milk left over at the end.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I just had a little bit of orange juice. So I just poured it in, mixed it up, curdled it all up. And then my mum would always be like, what have you done in here? Been curdled milk. No? Okay. Ooh. You know when you've got a universal experience, the thing that you think is a universal experience, and it just turns out, no, it's not. Well, that's what's just happened there. In the real, live.
I've got nothing like that. I probably do, but I can't think of it on the spot.
I once tried to make milk ice lollies, and then they were only about this big in one of those ones you got in the Kellogg's. Mm. And we put a whole sweetener in each one and tried that, and it was fucking god-awful. You live and you learn.
Danny, I wondered, if your time on the road with your band or as a session player, etc., if you had any horror stories that have gone down. We ask everyone that plays live gigs if they've got any funny stories from the road, and I feel like you're the type of man that might have one.
Okay. Do you remember a club called The Lemon Shed in Bradford?
I've heard of it, but I don't know it.
It's shut down now. It was the lesbian bar in Bradford. Mm. And we got booked to play there. This is only about a few years ago. And there was four people in the audience, right? Two were the bar staff. Mm. One was the door lady. And one was a crowd member. And two songs in, a fight broke out.
Between who?
Between... one of the bar staff and one of the... and the punter.
Oh, my God.
And then the other bar staff ran in, and then the door lady ran in, and it was a big free... and two songs in, and we were just playing this, and it was a really happy, like, disco set. And then we had to leave after three songs because of this chaos that ensued.
I mean, by the sounds of the clientele they had and the amount of people there, it's not really a surprise that it's no longer around anymore.
No, fortunately not. We once got booked to play Flares on St. Patrick's Night. My God, so do you have Flares in Leeds?
It's just an Irish bar, isn't it?
It might not exist anymore, Flares, I don't know. It was like a real 70s sort of bar with like a... light up dance floor.
Oh. Is it called Flares over the trousers? Flares back in the day, or is it?
I don't know. Is it just Flares? They've got a few around the country, but they had one in Bradford, and that was one where we'd been booked for quite good money to come on at midnight on St. Patrick's Night and play all these tunes, and we got three quarters away through the first song, power goes, and all the tunes come back on. And to be fair, they paid us, but they were just like, nah, like, you're not right for this place. And we got paid in full for half a song.
Oh, fucking hell, that's all right.
That's not a horror story.
That's a win.
His result.
I'd do that week in, week out. It's probably the most I could play. I'd do the first half of that Nirvana song and then I'd be out.
Yeah, you say that's me done. Thanks, everybody. Was it a set that was predominantly Irish themed initially? I mean, half the song was the half song Irish themed.
Was it Dropkick Murphys? Maybe that was the problem. Maybe they thought, oh, we'll get some nice Irish music on, and then we turned up and started doing some like disco classics with Irish players. I'd never thought of that.
Could have been that. Yeah.
Not on St. Patrick's night.
Yeah. No, not then. When Chicago dyes the whole river green.
Oh yeah, we had a band on from Chicago last week, and I said to him, I was like, why does the whole city dye its river green for St. Patrick's Day? It seems like such a strange thing to do. And one of the members claimed that it was, in fact, because they try to hide all the pollution. They throw all the stuff in the river that weekend and then dye it green, like in the Simpsons movie, so that they never know. But I wondered, to finish things off, if there's any bands you're listening to on a regular basis or bumping a bit at the minute that you wanted to give a quick shout out to and tell people to check out.
Local bands or...
Anyone you want, anyone in the world.
Anyone in the world. Have you guys heard of Bad Nerves?
I have.
They're amazing. I'm really into them at the moment. So they're doing a lot of support slots. So they supported the Hives here. Mm-hmm. And they supported the Darkness in Leeds as well. Yeah. It's real cool, like punky stuff. Because a lot of the punk that me and Mrs. Management listen to is like Australian stuff. But this is a true British punk band that I recommend everyone check out.
Very nice. So would you say you're a fan of the Chats?
Chats, yeah, I love the Chats. Yeah, absolutely. Amel and the Sniffers.
Oh, yeah.
Was it with you?
I think we saw them.
I've seen them.
They supported somebody.
Oh, really? We seen them on the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day and Fallout Boy. I've also seen them at one of the uni venues in Leeds, Beckett's or Stylus.
Really?
Yeah, they were really good.
They don't come round anymore much, so... I'm hoping to see them.
Bands like that, you get lucky when they're there. You go, well, I'm going to have to see them now. Yeah. Apart from the bands that come, like, you get the Japanese bands that do the European tour, and it's one day in London. And you're like, oh, no, am I going to go all the way down to London for this band?
No.
Probably.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tim, unless you had any other questions, am I missing anything off?
I don't think so.
Danny, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hopefully, really I don't have to down another pint with... eggs in it anytime soon. Maybe I will. Maybe that's a new thing. I might test it as a hangover cure instead. But thank you so much for joining us.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.